Cloudy skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 71 degrees is the temperature. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to the Bow Falls Radio page at facebook.com and x.com to be able to watch a video stream of that program if you've got the stomach for it this early in the morning. But no, it's outstanding to have the opportunity to see our video stream. And also you can join us by either calling or texting us. And again, when you call or text, the easiest way is through the Civic Media app. If you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, do so. Just go to your Apple App Store, go to your Google Play, search out Civic Media, download the app, and then you'll have access to all 20 of the Civic Media radio stations, roughly 20. I have to count. I'm not sure if we're right at 20 yet or not, but you can do that. And then the fifth one down is Bow Falls Radio, and be able to listen in, call us, text us. And if you just want to call us with your phone, whether it's your cell phone, your landline, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. And again, that is also the text line. So either call or text at that line, and you'll be able to join us here on the program. Coming up this morning in the second hour of the program, a couple of guests at 9:15-ish, when he walks through the door, we get him right on the air. We'll be joined by Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater of Wausau and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. He joins us every other Wednesday early on in the second hour. And then at 9:35 this morning, I'll be talking to a Wausau native and a longtime Milwaukee resident, and also somebody I've known for many years. We went to college together, in fact, but she lives in Milwaukee, and I thought it would be a good idea to talk a little bit about her city and more about Donald Trump after he called Milwaukee the state's largest city horrible last week. And I'll be talking to Jennifer Grundy at 9:35 this morning. Again, she's lived in Milwaukee for the last 15 years. And just talk a little bit about that city for those of us who don't live within the confines of Southeast Wisconsin. Some guy that does know, I think, quite a bit about Southeast Wisconsin is the man that we welcome every other Wednesday for the first hour of the show, Mr. Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
Yeah, about 30 years of my life.
So I think you probably know a little something about it.
From birth till, from birth until, and then taking off and going off into the wonderful world of broadcast. Well, actually, it's a little longer than that. It was about 1987 before I went off to Peoria, Illinois, and off we went. I mean, Port Washington. You know, Port Washington is on that edge of
right.
being Milwaukee.
Well, you're
when I first started working there, that was the that was the rural. You know, right. way out there. And as time went on, by the time you know, I got done with my work in 85, it was now an off-ramp of I-43, which was not in existence back when I first started. So
actually, I was born in Milwaukee, but we moved away when I was like a little after 1 year old. So I don't really have much. I cannot be a definitive expert on what goes on in Southeast Wisconsin. But let me ask you real fast.
Mm-hmm.
When you, because obviously, I mean, it was just, it's sort of like when a band comes into town. And they say, well, it's great to be here. Donald Trump says, it's horrible. It makes no sense. But
what the people, because you've had an opportunity to live in different areas, so what do people maybe that live around here that may not have the exposure to the Milwaukee area, or especially the city of Milwaukee itself, what do they need to know that maybe is beyond the sound bites and beyond the surface level reporting you get from other areas of the state, and you know, and what you hear from, frankly, for a number of years from Republican legislators in Madison that like to use Milwaukee as a bit of a punching bag? Maybe something that people should realize about Milwaukee that we don't know.
Well, for, it's been they named Milwaukee the big city with a small town atmosphere, and it's very, very true as far as I'm concerned. And when I hear people talking about, oh, how dangerous it is in Milwaukee, and I says, you know, I live, you know, for most of my life, and even all the times when I visit, I don't go running around going, oh, I can't go here or I can't go there. You just do. Folks, when you have, you know, nearly a million people in a more concentrated area as opposed to, you know, maybe 40,000 in what was county of Marathon County or, you know, something of that nature. You know, it's like just by numbers, you're going to have more incidents or things. It's not like it's just that situation. All cities have the same, you know, situation. There's just more people.
That's actually something that's interesting, because I was talking to my guest in the second hour about our discussion, and that's actually something that she said, that as well, that there is a sense of community. I think a lot of people don't feel that there is. They feel like, oh, it's the rural areas that have that real sense of community, and that's actually something that she has said as well, that there is within the neighborhood that in Milwaukee that she lives in. And she said, hey, there's sometimes that there's some issues with breaking the law, but and again, just as you said, again, that's not unique. I mean, there's a sense that somehow you can't go into the city or something like that, and that is just so untrue. And again, it has a lot to do with political narratives that get so frustrating in this area. Era. Well,
when you say per capita,
yeah,
that evens everything. It's not even evens thing out. It shows that less populated areas have more instances per capita, either crime, violence, what have you, compared to the bigger city. Bigger city obviously is more numbers because there's just more people. That's just the way it works, folks. You know, it's, you know, if you threw a baseball and you're trying to throw it through a hole in the wall, and you have 100 throws, and you only do it five times, and it says, okay, now, you know, do it 10 times, and all of a sudden you put four through. You only put it through four times when you had 10 shots, but you five times and 100 shots. Well, that shows you that's so much easier. You know, no, because 5 into 100 is it's per capita. It's mathematics, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll tell you what. I always like to give this this example. I signed up to take a bus down to Milwaukee. This is now circa 1988, 89, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a local bistro here in town. They were taking a bus down to Milwaukee to see Milwaukee Bucks game. Mm-hmm. All right. And it's going to the Bradley Center and all that. So here I'm on this bus with all these people, you know, who are not from Milwaukee. They're from the Wausau area. And so, you know, everyone gets off the bus and they're all waiting outside, and they drop us off right in front of Bradley Center at like a little after 5 p.m. You know, the game is at 7:30 or whatever it was. So the people get out of the bus and they're waiting for me to get out of the bus. And I stand there, well, now where? And they go, well, we thought you'd have an idea. Okay, well, down the street, Major Goolsby's, you know, boom, which is across the street from the old arena.
Right.
Been there for years, still's there. And now all these people, and the place is just packed. It's just, and they're going, my gosh, all these people here. Well, we didn't know that the Grateful Dead were doing a concert at the Milwaukee Arena while the Bucks were playing, I think it was the Pistons, you know, at the Bradley Center. Okay, so now I'm with a couple of my friends here from the area. I says, I don't like this crowded stuff. Let's go across the street to the hotel across the street. I'm trying to remember the Hyatt or whatever it is right across the street. And they looked at me like, well, why would we go there? I says, well, I'm sure they have a bar. And I said, and we walk and we go up in the lower level and we take this escalator up one floor. And here's this, you know, bar, you know, nice cushy chairs. There's a little jazz quartet playing. And the drink prices were the same as being over at Goolsby's, you know, elbow to elbow. And, you know, we just had a heck of a lot more fun. And so I says, well, you know, I got a friend that works at a bar down on the east side of Milwaukee. He said, well, how are we going to get there? Walk out. I said, cab. Boom. Phew. Off to we go. Go there. Here's my friend. Hey, she was serving us drinks. And now they're starting to freak out because, hey, you know, the game's going to start in 15 minutes. I'd say, Sherry, call us a cab. And all of a sudden, the cab driver comes in. Oh, picked us up, took us over to Bradley Center. Get to the Bradley Center, walk on in there, grab the seats with all the other folks, you know, and of course, they've been there inside the Bradley Center for, you know, like an hour. What do you know?
Right.
You know, we walk in as the national anthem singer and the home of the brave, and we sit down and watch a game.
Frankly, when you tell the story that you just told about, you know, taking people there that they don't know the area, they don't know where to go for a drink or whatever, it's the same if somebody from Milwaukee had come to, you know, a rural area. They wouldn't know where to go, but you learn it and you experience it.
The first thing I did when I took jobs in other in Peoria, Illinois, or Rapid City, South Dakota, wherever, the first thing I did when I came to work in those areas, or before I get hired, I would kind of scope out the areas. I'd ask the locals, where's the best place to eat? Where's the fun place to go to have a beer? Where the locals will tell you. Don't go chasing after the the glitzy type things,
right?
A lot of times. And the same thing with Rapid City, which is a very touristy type of area. You find the nice places with the locals hanging out.
You find the real truth.
The real people.
That's Bob Look. He's with us for the first hour of the program here on this Wednesday. It's a hump day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the weekend. Looks like some darker clouds forming as I look out the window here in our downtown studios. We'll keep you up to speed on the weather and more as we continue here on this Wednesday. Again, the time is almost 8:19. I'm Chad Holmes, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO on the Civic Media app, at our Facebook and X pages for Bull Falls Radio. And you can also join us by giving us a call or a text. Again, we would love to hear your thoughts on anything we're talking about, anything we should be talking about. You can call or text, same number, 715-382-9297. Again, get that pen, get that pencil, get that paper, write it down, 715-382-9297. And again, if you have the app, just open up the Bull Falls Radio page and then hit the button for call, hit the button for text, and it's just that simple.
And also, you can text that number even when we're not live on the air because it's always in play. So you wanted to say, hey, tomorrow, could you talk a little bit about, or I got a question about this? It could be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, don't say, why isn't Chad talking about this? Hey, I want you to tell me what's on your mind, because we do want to make sure that we are talking about the things that are important to you. Brittany, again, is off today. She's been off so far this week, but she'll be back tomorrow. But real quickly for the weather, again, looks like we get about one day where we don't really get any precipitation, then it starts to come back again. And today, not a great chance. There's a chance of some showers and thunderstorms, slight chance early, and then pretty much mostly cloudy for the rest of the day and a high near 74. Again, a slight chance of showers tonight, a low of 58. little bit better chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm tomorrow, and a high near 69 degrees. So again, we had the big warm up, and now we're dipping down just a little bit. And right now, overcast skies and 71 degrees. Last night, I popped on social media, and all of a sudden, it just exploded with people talking about Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid. 93 years old, and in the conversation as the greatest baseball player of all time, when you talk about the five tools, the guy had the five tools. He had longevity. He had the power. He had the speed. He had the defense. I mean, you put it all together. Truly, I mean, on the Mount Rushmore of Major League Baseball history, and 93 years old, and I thought I'm glad Bob is coming in, because you've talked about when you were younger going to the County Stadium during the Braves era, and Willie Mays had the greatest day of his illustrious career on a day in 1961 after he'd had some bad ribs. He was not going to play.
He was in a slump at the time, and he was thinking about telling the manager that I really can't go. Maybe I should take the day off. And manager says, no, I got a good feeling that you're going to do well today. Well, four home runs in one game in County Stadium in April, which isn't prime time to be hitting home runs either at old County Stadium. But I was too young for that. I was only 6 years old when he did that. But I did get to see him in the Giants uniform playing the Braves back in 64 and 65 when I took in the knothole games, they used to call them. And they were these midweek getaway games that teams would play. So if they would hit the road for the next city, they would give them like an extra day for travel. Because just about all the time, Sundays were doubleheaders. So you always had that one day of travel kind of inked in there, so they weren't going every day,
right,
kind of a situation. But just think of that San Francisco Giants ball club back then. And, you know, they talk about other teams that, best team never to really have a big success. I mean, they were successful, but they didn't win many championships.
They had an era of the 60s where they pretty much finished second every year.
They were bridesmaid constantly because they had the Los Angeles Dodgers. There was the Cardinals and all that. But you had, not only Willie Mays out there batting, but right behind him was Willie McCovey. Big, power-hitting, left-handed hitting first baseman. And you had probably one of the best pitchers of all time, Juan Marichal, was on that team. And, you would get the Giants and the Braves playing. And even as a 9, 10-year-old kid, I'm sitting there going, wow, there's Willie Mays, there's Willie McCovey, there's Juan Marichal. Oh, there's Henry Aaron, there's Eddie Matthews, there's Warren Spahn. How did they all do?
And one of the interesting stats, and again, he's more than stats. He's sort of, that iconic figure. Mm-hmm. But in reading last night, one of the stats that I think, obviously, with the rule changes that will never be broken is Willie Mays had a home run in every inning of a game from 1 through 16. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a few weeks ago, you actually talked about that game that went to the 16th inning. He was the guy that broke up the Warren Spahn, Juan Marichal shutout for 16 innings. Yep. But every inning from 1 to 16, Willie Mays had at least one home run in his career.
Yeah, he was... He'd get them in big moments, too, which was vitally important. But toss in here the one thing that always kind of gets a little lost in the discussion is he was drafted by the military.
Yeah.
And he lost two seasons to service, for the military.
52 and 53.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, it's one of those things that they kind of touch, but they don't want to get too deep into it. It seemed that sometimes there was players, certain teams of certain skin color seemed to always get, those notices of being drafted. Now somebody's going to say, oh, that's just the way they're all supposed to serve. I understand that. However, rookie of the year for the National League, and I can't remember his name, 51, he was of that age. He didn't get the 1950 MVP or not rookie of the year, he didn't get drafted. What was the difference? I'm just laying that out there.
And that, you know, when you think back.
And then they'll say, well, Ted Williams was World War II and Korea. Well, he was also, you know, Air Force.
Right.
And he was a pilot, and so he was very valuable, and then he felt it was important for him to go and serve in those conflicts. But, you know, like Muhammad Ali getting drafted when he was 24 years old.
He may have got to 714 before Henry Aaron.
That's always arguable.
2 years? I mean, 30 homers a year?
You got to remember, the San Francisco Giants weren't the San Francisco Giants. They were the New York Giants baseball team. And so if you don't think there was a little hurt feelings out of the East Coast that this team moved off to the West Coast.
Actually, one interesting part of his story as well is when they did move out west in 58, McCovey was actually the more popular player in San Francisco because he was thought of as a homegrown Giant, not coming from New York. And Willie would still say how much he kind of missed New York in that inning. So it was like he had like this great season where they voted McCovey the fans MVP.
Fan favorite. Well, that's kind of, you know, the lay of the land. If you weren't from the original, think of what in that same Craig Counsell's going through right now down in Chicago.
Yeah, not a real cubby. And by the way,
yeah,
Willie Mays and Jerry West, two icons. Oh. I mean, just icons of sports.
And I got to see Jerry West play too with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Lakers. Those games.
And there, anybody who knows history of NBA real fast. The matchups between the Bucks and the Lakers in 72 may have been probably the two best teams ever to meet in a playoff round before the NBA Finals.
The Bucks snapped the Lakers' 33-game winning streak, which was a big deal.
Oh, they were the champs, and then they played in the finals of the conference, and L.A. ultimately won that. But Bob Look, Chad Holmes, information update coming up here on Bull Falls Radio. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Hey, I got a text here, and I think you'll like this one.
Got a text?
Yep, got a text. It's not a question, it's a comment.
Oh. It
says, always happy to see Bob Look, my dear friend.
Well, isn't that nice?
And, I'm not sure who it's from.
Do I owe them money?
And for people that love to hear Bob Look, good news is that next week Bob will be hosting this show. Monday through Friday, I'll be stepping away for a week.
You've got vacation time.
I'm
going to
take a little time and
I'm not doing anything important. So.
Gonna get out of town for a little bit, and I know Bob's got some great ideas for next week, and of course it's just great that we'll be hearing you. And real fast, and I know that you've been concerned because you know your man has a reputation. And we want to make sure that you're not dealing with people that are, you know, a little bit sketchy. I am the morning show host that has not been arrested recently. Yeah. I just want you to know.
And I'm the veteran radio guy who's haven't been arrested for
Carla Ledholtz.
Oh, yeah.
She just sent a second text.
She worked with my wife and myself helping out the American Cancer Society for quite some time when we moved back to the Wausau area in 1998 and helped out the Cancer Society with their Relay for Life, because we were doing that in Rapid City and also in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Mm.
My wife and myself were working there, so yeah.
We're on the same line real fast before we keep going here. When you mentioned the doing good work with the Cancer Society, again, I want to remind folks that's coming up Friday and Saturday over at Sunnyvale Softball Complex, the Extra Innings Celebration of Life, raising money for local cancer patients. And I would still encourage many of you who want to be part of something very positive. A lot of great activities, but also really a good cause. Friday evening, I'll be down there, so say hello. All day Saturday, a lot of kids events as well. And we had the interview with Ted Hartke again yesterday. If you missed it, you can go to our podcast page and get more information on that as well. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure I'm a good guy here.
So and I'm a cancer survivor, which I always hate to give me that title, but they gave me that title because I did have, you know, prostate cancer, went through the radiation treatments, and knocking on the wood, nothing back. So
fantastic. And again, join us all, be part. Again, we would love to hear from the folks out there. Call or text at 715-382-9297, 715-382-9297.
I thought I owed somebody.
No, I think
we're
all good.
They saw my new hockey jersey here. Milwaukee Brewers hockey jersey.
You got the jersey, I got the hat if you're looking at our video. So we're all on top.
But also short on sleep as Sal Frelick made that catch last night. And then after he makes that great catch at the wall, okay, now try to go to bed and fall asleep as your adrenaline gland just kind of...
Yeah, he's become quite the highlight guy.
Ian probably tossed and turned until 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, we forgot
to... I did get a little bit of sleep last night.
Oh, okay.
I didn't wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning like I have been the last couple of nights. Oh, so that's a good thing.
I haven't delved into that yet. I don't know if we want to delve into the sleep patterns of Ian Welsh, but I forgot to introduce you earlier.
Well, sleep patterns aren't that bad.
Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer, producer.
I can't see him, you know, because I got the big monitor.
I know. I can see his face from my side.
I can see his hands working, you know.
I would say sit on this side next week.
Yeah, so that's right, normally.
Sit where you can see.
That's so I can, him. When he's suddenly looking at me and he says, you know, waving at me, don't do this or don't say that or whatever.
We'll talk.
Sleep patterns aren't that bad. I mean, everybody has sleep issues from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
We'll talk more about the crew and a little sports in our final minutes. Yesterday, returning to Wisconsin for the first time since he put out the friendly brochures about, you know, Milwaukee was the former president of the United States. He was down in Racine. And the thing about it is, and it's maybe a little, I don't know if I'd call it unfair, but he's got a record, so a record in more ways than one, I should say. But he comes out there and he says, no, I love Milwaukee. In fact, it was I who told everybody, put the convention in Milwaukee. And I'm listening to this. and if you disagree, let us know. But my first thought is, in the way that you and I breathe without thinking about it, he lies. He was not the guy, I want to go to Milwaukee. I mean, he just, and then I look and all these people behind him, and they're all clapping and cheering like a bunch of idiots. And I'm sorry again, I don't mean to be this mean this early in the morning, but it was frustrating because, I mean, he gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar when it came to his comments. And then all these Wisconsin Republicans are falling over themselves, unable to get the right story out there on exactly what happened. Oh, no, he wasn't talking about it in that way. But the whole, again, it, as we go into the last 4 or 5 months before the election, we got to have some sense of reality here. And every time I look at this guy, there's no sense of reality because he just gets up there and starts lying. And that's just my general thoughts in terms of what we saw yesterday in the state of Wisconsin and we're seeing.
If you're looking for, you know, what he's trying to accomplish, and that is to get the competition or the people against him all wired up and fired.
I guess he won again. He got me wired up and fired.
Me, I just kind of shrugged the shoulders. I still am trying to figure out who Joe Bride is. If you watched any of that speech, he was rambling about something, and I was like, Joe Bride. and it wasn't just one time. He did it almost immediately after that. Joe Bride, he was trying to put something out there or say something, and he got it mixed up. Okay, well, so does everybody. I don't speak, you know, perfectly good English all the time. Sometimes, you know, the brain works a little too quick and the mouth is a little slow in catching up, so I'm not going to start pointing figures, but I just kind of shrug my shoulders. You know, it's like when you hear the same old story, you just go, okay.
But the thing about what we're dealing with right now as well, and you've been in the media for a long time. Have you been following at all this Washington Post story where these gentlemen from Great Britain who's got into some trouble for some techniques used in terms of for famous folks, including the royal family, basically hacking into phone messages and the like.
And also manufacturing stories.
Exactly. And the idea that one of the traditionally great American journalistic sources is falling under that kind of leadership. Bezos basically saying, well, we got to change the way we do things because we're losing way too much money. And I understand. You don't want to be constantly, but at the same time, he'll be in financial difficulty sometime about 200 years after he's dead, even if it continues to lose money. I mean, sometimes maybe there's a civic duty in order to maintain democracy and journalistic integrity. Fox is continuing to. I was talking a little bit yesterday about Gutfeld, who said twice back to back days last week that the American people will not accept an election that says that Joe Biden won. I mean, the idea that it's obvious this guy that these people think that everybody wants Donald Trump to be president, and it's not true.
Well,
and it's a completely against, as we come up again on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence in 2 years. There is so much misinformation out there, and it's really starting to. I'm on the ledge here, and I know that you're a lot calmer about this stuff.
Well, I'm calmer because I just realized that they're just talking to their base fans who believe all that stuff. I had to change my S word there.
But unfortunately, now it's all, I mean, the Post. I mean,
who owns him? Now think of Jeff Bezos, okay?
And
hear me out on this theory.
Okay.
Jeff Bezos, multi-billionaire persons, just go on down the line, all those people. They are so against or wanting even more tax breaks so they can buy their own stock. Because when is enough enough? There is no enough on their side of the... They would be happy that every citizen of this country, every man, woman, working for a living, would work until they die. Let me repeat that for you, for these people who maybe, what did he say? Those multi-billionaire corporations, people, and that want us to work until we die. No Social Security, no Medicare, no Medicaid. Well, they just keep working, while we create jobs. Oh, like hell you do. It's the marketplace that creates jobs, and if you've got a widget that people wants to buy, then you're gonna go. But of course, you got to have people and customers who can actually afford the widget, which is another catch 22. But you just keep throwing it out there until I see that FICA payment not being leveled out,
capped.
Until I see that uncapped, so that. If you have made, $10 million this past year, mm-hmm. I'm just taking this number. Well, you should have that FICA thing right up through, not capped at $100,000. It's like, because then they say, well, I won't need the Social Security. That's not the point. Some people don't need schools. They don't have kids, but they're there. It's a comment. It's what we do as a democracy. We,
going back to the whole word community.
Community. And, so that's why when people, say things like, oh, well, we can't, we're not going to accept the results of the coming election. You mean you're not going to accept the results that were tallied and the voting booths and that were all manned by your neighbors? People down the block, your friends,
You're saying that they're all in this, you know, as a big sham?
And that's also along the same lines. When they criticized the Trump verdict, there were 12 citizens who made that decision.
There's 12 citizens.
It's showing again that they have no respect at all for the general American public. None. And also when they continually talk about, and I had a candidate for assembly on, a Republican candidate on earlier this week, talking about again, less regulation. You know what, again, what another word for regulation is? Rules. They just don't want to follow rules. We know what it's like. Anybody who has a knowledge of history knows what it's like when we have no regulation or rules, where kids would have to work 7 days a week at 16-hour days. You talk about, you know, people working until they died. They, back in the Gilded Age, in the late 19th century, early 20th century, before the progressive legislation that was able to come through, you had folks that basically their whole lives were working. And when you hear people like Robin Voss talk about the University of Wisconsin, other colleges and universities, the whole point should be about getting people ready to go into the workforce. That again shows the entirety of their line of thinking. Life is more than just working every single day of your life, or even going to school just to have to become a worker bee for the man for the next 70 years.
And I said, you know, when you poke individual type politicians or folks, it just kind of muddies the water. You just have to keep yourself focused on what is right and what is wrong, what is fair, what is not fair, what is honest and what is BS. It's an easy thing to equate. It's an easy thing to identify. All you got to do is use that little brain matter that's between your ears. And you can see it. You can, if you tend to turn it off and just nod your head, yeah, what do you say? I agree with everything you said. Okay, that's your life. But this country is born on majority rules, and
no
I think
matter
that majority is going to step forward.
Yeah, no matter what Greg Gutfeld says. The time is 8:49. Back with one more segment with Bob Look, and then Sean Wright in the second hour, Jennifer Grundy in the second hour, here on the Bull Falls Radio. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
The second annual Celebration of Life with Extra Innings takes place June 21st and 22nd at Sunnyvale Softball Complex in Wausau. Nicolet Bank and GI Associates of Wausau are both proud sponsors of this important event, helping local families right here in central Wisconsin affected by cancer. This event won't be possible without the generosity of local businesses and organizations willing to do the hard work for the right reasons. Saturday has a special children's cancer tribute game, and all children are welcome to play. There's still time to get your team entered and become part of this amazing event. For more details and sponsor info, go to extrainnings-wi.com or call Ted at 419-260-1073. There are numerous opportunities to sponsor or volunteer. Again, that's extrainnings-wi.com or call 419-260-1073. All funds raised stay local to help families right here in central Wisconsin.
Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Bob Look with us here for the first hour. Again, Bob will be our guest host for me next week.
Veteran broadcaster.
There you go. Veteran broadcaster Bob Look. An all-around good guy.
Not been arrested for, you know.
Yes, and believe me.
Strangling people.
And believe me, I look at that because nobody's coming in this studio. And frankly, and again, I real quickly, and you don't have to say anything. I know that if I was doing the same thing, I would not be on the air. But that's maybe different thoughts of that, that with different broadcast philosophies, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
But let's talk some sports. Oh. Actually, before we talk about the Brewers, I want to talk, you know, wearing the hockey jersey. Could be some history being made here. Now, Edmonton won again last night. Yeah. Did you watch any of that?
In fact, last night I was watching the game, and after the first period, and that I texted Tony Granato because I haven't been in contact for a couple of months, and see how he's doing, and he shot back a text back, I'm watching the game too, Bob, and I mentioned Dylan Holloway. Former Badgers playing well. He's playing great, and according to Coach Granato, he's doing fine. He's going through the radiation and all that. Lymphoma is what he's battling. So we wish him the best. But yeah, I mentioned that after they says, well, 8-1. Well, sometimes it just opens up the gates a little bit. And last night was a fun game. I was watching that. I was turning away from the Brewer game to watch the Stanley Cup. And then when it got their empty net goal, I says, okay, I think we can get it home from here. But yeah, coming up with game six.
I tell you, I mean, that's exciting.
It's exciting hockey.
I hate to see where it felt, it's going to be a four game. But even in when it's 3-0.
Too bad Sean McDonough is the play-by-play guy, but that's beside the point.
Boy, no, you're going to open up a can of worms right here now. I'm going to bite my tongue right now because, again, you know, I'm going to say one word, and people that know me know this word, nepotism. One word, and that's all. And so I think it's a scourge on America, nepotism. And you just like, you know that my buttons get pushed so very easily. And that's one of my...
I'm sorry. That's all right. I lost my job with the Milwaukee Admirals doing the play-by-play when the son of the owner suddenly became the announcer. So
I've always thought, real quick, I've always thought back, you know, because, well, Jerry Jones' son is like, you know, got this big position. I have this thought of, you know, when that position was open, you got probably two guys come in for interviews. You got one guy that probably has everything that you need to do, and then you have, hey, the kid is here. Well, I mean,
there it is.
And there's so much of that, whether it's in sports, ownership groups, and yeah. Also any day that you watch professional sports or some other major sports coverage on television, half of them seem to be nepotism hires. And again, and I understand some of them are really good, but boy, the opportunities are right there. And again, you're just shrugging your shoulders as I rail on this. But
it doesn't surprise me anymore because I've gone through it my whole life, so don't worry about it.
Brewers, again, I tell you, when you look back, I think it's been like last three series since they had the series in Philly, two out of three. And now they have another chance, if they can do it against the Angels later, two out of three. I mean, it just methodically getting farther and further away from that 500 level. It's just a very methodical group right now.
Well, there is this kind of like mental thing that, in fact, Pat Murphy talked about it. When the Brewers got over that 10 games over 500 feeling, you know, when they cleared that. And again, he says, we got to keep our focus on winning series. But when you have that 10-game, hedge there, that even if you went 500 the rest of the season, the rest of the year, if you do that, 10 games over 500, I mean, you'd be, still in pretty decent shape. The point being is consistency. It's a marathon. And it's a fun team to watch. I have a lot of friends in the baseball world that are not affiliated with the Brewers, but with other teams. And they say, how is your team doing it? How are they? I mean, we're looking at box scores and we're seeing names of pitchers. Who are these people? I said, I text back to them. I says, well, don't feel bad because even we, the fans, who's this guy? Honest to God.
Who's this guy, and then how are they doing it? Because they come up and they perform. And that's, you love to see where these guys who get the opportunity.
Tobias, last night pitching was, I'm going, this guy looks like a veteran. He's just like going out there and taking care of business. Get a couple of people on base. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no problem.
Got this dream that they're going to go all the way to the World Series and see Corbin Burns in like game one of the World Series.
That's good.
I know it is because he's doing great with Baltimore, but it shows the Brewers that seemed they know what they're doing.
And Joey Ortiz with a two-run home run wins the game.
And Yelich, number 200. But that's I salute to Christian Yelich, 200 yes, home sir. Runs. I mean, again, those are, again, big numbers.
You know, the play that's standing out for me morning a couple days ago when he bunted to drive in a run, to make that lead two runs rather than one run. How many guys, former MVPs or guys who are paid a lot of money, doing something that some of those players would just kind of look at management like, you're asking me to bunt?
Well, I had a conversation with a student athlete from Mosini, a softball player who was at the state finals a couple weeks ago. Her last at-bat, they were down by 6 runs. She bunted in the bottom of the sixth inning. I talked to her about that. I said, that was such a smart play because it's your last at-bat as a high school player, but still knew that even if she hit a home run, it meant nothing. It's, needed base runners.
Base.
And you see that at every level. Certain players get it. Other players don't get it. And when you see people that get it as fans, you just love that. You really do. And you get it, too. Again, thank you for stepping in next week. I know people are going to love hearing you.
We're going to have some fun, and you might hear some voices that you haven't heard from in a long time.
Fantastic. Well, Bob, again, have fun next week, and I'll be with you again in 2 weeks' time. So we'll look forward to that. Another hour to go. We got Sean Wright coming up in just a few minutes, and Jennifer Grundy after that here on Bow Falls Radio.